How long have you been waiting?
I don't know, 20 minutes, whatever, an hour.
Get out of here.
Something like that. So yesterday, Daniel raised the question of, since we were talking about the issue over here of the use of Yerushalayim, Mokim, Tzion, and so on, as being itself an expression of the idea of Eicha. In other words, that the very fact that we see something that is not from this world as nonetheless needing to be expressed within the world, that itself is the paradox of Eicha. In other words, to recognize that, if Klal Yisrael is functioning, that must make a difference to the world. And if we find that it doesn't, then we have exactly the same problem as the Eicha. And that's what's shocking. In other words, the very fact that we use Tzion for Yisroel over here is mamish the expression of the word Eicha. That's what we have said. Comes along the meal and time it.
I got it straight from the
head. I'm not good.
You're not good?
From basically what I understood was that
not good.
The basic impression from what I understood is that the pain of Eicha and of Tzion is that what we know to be in truth, I think, a spiritual world, that a person is supposed to be immortal, that they're supposed to be Yerushalayim, the pain of Eicha is to recognize the paradoxes that in the physical world that's not being expressed and manifested. So if that is the pain, that physical isn't fully representative, expressive of the what's truly the spiritual, it's truly what it truly is, then it should come out then that there should be pain. If I have two pieces of meat and one is trace and one is kosher, I should also have the pain that there's no physical difference whatsoever between the two pieces of meat. And if in fact there should be pain, then it would come out that every person, that the person who truly is showing for a complete expressionism of spirituality through the physical, it should come out that every two pieces of meat, that one is kosher, one is not kosher, there has to be some physical difference between them.
Okay, that was the point. All right, you hear the point. And in the broadest sense, the kind of, you know, ought to apply even to the question of whether the godless of Yisrael should be nicker in terms of the Brian. It's amazing because we were talking the night before basically about the same issue, if you think about it. Because the question of the elements versus the path is exactly what this involves. I think this is a very important point because it forces us to clarify. I'm so grateful that you raised this because Mamish forces us to clarify exactly what the issues are. We started talking on Shabbat of the Tammuz about the nature of Acher and Matat in this issue. It's not just as a curiosity. I wanted to compare today's Gemara, which is amazing. The Gemara says it's nicker. You have a broken bone in an arm or in a leg. So even though it's not a mum nicker, you might need an X-ray to see the break. That's not called nicker. But it's nicker b'malachta. So Rashi says, Nikah b'malacha doesn't mean that it's pulling a plow. Rashi says, Nikah b'malacha, the malacha, the regal, it's the walk. So that means the nature of the word malacha is functionality, which means that a malach provides functionality. Right? It's the way in which we translate a thing into an effect on the world, which is what malacha means, is through a transference of an idea or a chemical, whatever it is. But so the human being are malachim or electrochemical. And now Kadosh Baruch Hu, we have the vision of a malach as whatever it is. So every generation has a different vision of a malach. Their vision of a malach is a whole thing with wings fluttering around. Yecheskel's vision of a malach, an engineer with a measuring tape. Could be our vision of a malach, maybe would be some kind of messenger RNA. But the idea of malach is that it translates to, in order to achieve malach, an impact on something, right?
So malach means
sorry?
Milacha means functionality.
What's that?
Milacha.
Milacha. Right.
This may sum up as milacha.
Yeah.
True its function.
Well, yeah, okay. Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
It doesn't mean doing its work.
Right.
Exactly. That is its function, whatever it is. And obviously, if it's just walking and drops, it's also may sum up as milacha. In the ultimate sense. So now the shaila is like this. I think we have to raise a number of different issues. We started off pointing out that this is negeya, the entire question of Shiluach HaKein. In other words, it's not a coincidence that Shiluach HaKein represents to us the interaction of Chayk and Mishpat, because that's really the place of Aymer HaKan Tzipor Yagiyo Rachamecha. That's where the issue is raised in the Gemara. Nowhere else. The Rambam actually in the Meira. Time is that you, I know, are going to have a kasha on me from our Tansipor Yagir Rachamecha. It's I, Taina, that chukim are meant to be understood. So you'll say to me, chukim are meant to be understood, what do you do with the Mishnah? That's what you'll say to me. And he gives, I'll tell you what he says. But the point is that is the place where Chazal see it as that interrelationship, which we related because of nesting and therefore, but that's not as important as the Yesoda in you. What does Lamani Arif and Yamecha mean? And we related this to the Rambam about Sof and Yochas Tshuva. What is the Schar? Is it Negei Elam Hazeh? Is it only Negei Elam Haba? Let's again be machalic in these inyanim, because there's many issues and they are subtle issues. Let's take the most bolate issue, first of all, or the two bolate on both sides. We have the concept of a Mishpat. In a mishpat, it's a davar poshut by definition. That mishpat is the thing that has an impact in the world. That's why we call it a mishpat. So, in other words, the fact that I sense it is not that it has an input on the world. It's that the input is so powerful that it forced my own hardwiring in terms of my own history, my own evolution, to be hardwired to the sensitivity. That's how important it is. It's not my doing the mishpat. It's something much more fundamental. That concept that there is an idea called geneva, or an interrelationship between organisms and the objects that they utilize, that is a defined relationship and that has to be programmed into the way the bria is, that's the most fundamental interrelationship of, you can call it conceptual physical. On the other hand, you can find it that the conceptual is a result of the physical, not the physical result of the conceptual. Over there, the shaila, so what about a stock will be right to Bari Alma? What always would come first, would have to come first, the conceptual. If that's what the stock will be right to Bari Alma implies, correct? That's on one end of the scale. On the other end of the scale is bris. The nature of bris is you do the mitzvahs, you get the ring. Now, nobody in his right mind thinks that there's any relationship between mitzvahs and ring. Ring. As Ramban points out, I mean, that's absurd. There's no mechanism for bringing ring because you put on tefillin. You got to be crazy to believe in such a thing. Therefore, says the Ramban, all elements of bris are nisi. They're all nace oriented. And that's the meaning of bris. In other words, that's the Asino Mashim Mutal Aleinu. Aseyata Mashim Mutal Alecho. We made an agreement. We kept our part of the agreement. Now you keep your part of the agreement. In other words, I recognize that the elements that are indeed non-causal, and that's not a coincidence, as we'll see, was the weather is kimat the dugma to a level of complexity. That, you know, the old butterfly effect issue. The level of complexity is such that all things could be on that level of complexity, gurn anything. And therefore, you can't call it a mechanism. Even though I could literally, if I work out backwards, I could say, oh, the reason there was a tornado in such and such a place and the weather was balmy over here was because of the air currents that was created when this guy put on his tefillin shorosh. Shire, you understand? But since it's only ex post facto that I could ever figure that out, it's not shire to say even for a couple of oracles, you waive this And that will happen because the elements that are random are truly random. Is the pshat. It's not just that it's too complex to know. Right? It's random on the level of fundamental particles. We don't have anything but a statistical reality in it. It remains uncertain. The etzer. Yeah, I mean that's the issue of randomness that we spoke about in terms of Moshe Rabbeinu, Bilam, and so on and so forth. Fine. Okay, so that's the other extreme. That's where we don't expect even Liachra Maisa to be able to say there's some direct impact. That's why we need breaks. As a matter of fact, you could take it even further. Because in one of the things that when we spoke about the Gabi Pesach, we're talking about this issue. The reason that Mila requires a bris on this instead of just a mitzvah is that the moment that I tell you, this relates to the whole issue of anti-Semitism and the chud and abayas and so on and so forth. The moment that I tell you not to accept the world as it is, then I'm forcing you into a position that is anti-Darwinian, meaning what you end up doing makes survival more difficult, not more likely. It's mamish astira, because insofar as you start to maintain things that have not found a place in survivability within the physical world, you will find yourself actually in a position of less survivability. In other words, let's say a person stresses the emergent concept of his awareness over his natural animal side. What happens to him? He becomes a thinker, a philosopher, what a chazal call it, the Baal Machshava, the Meshuggah. He literally goes crazy. In other words, the way that we know that the evolutionary biologists China, that the mechanisms that came out that are byproducts of the development of consciousness have never shown themselves to be a survival advantage on the level that they've emerged at. Because there's, once you get to a darga of it, if you're Ben Maya, then you're not fighting Lamash. Right? Because it remains in its mode. It's the time at which fights become inevitable is when the maintenance mode is breaking down, and that happens after 10 generations, and Nimrod is the genius who foresees that. His mom is a genius. In other words, he sees clearly it will not be maintained. Why? Because of the Shiva Moshevites. Maybe get back to Lashon again, which is, we have to talk about that, we've been discussing it, but get back to the Olive Base issue of Eicha. But that's what he says, because of the fact that you have all of these Iye Hagoyim and so on that are developing, the end result is that we're going to end up destroying each other. There's no way to avoid it, which is absolutely true. Without bris, there's no way to avoid it. Human beings will end up killing each other. The only thing is, and so therefore he kind of, the way to do it is the bubble approach. Make sure that everybody thinks the same way. Are you a China that that's going to put an end to creativity and so on? So what's more to that? Survival or creativity? Avraham Avinu, his original reaction to that failed. Actually, Nimrod was more accurate than Avraham was. Because before Bris Milah, without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in that battle, Nimrod won. He threw him out of the country. He had to escape from Nimrod. You know, your ideas are very nice. Socrates gets himself killed. Would you like the hemlock or you want to run? That's exactly what it boils down to. That's exactly the same issue.
Throw him in the fire.
Yeah. He couldn't run away. It was Mamish Socrates' mindset. I thought that they used to call Socrates that damned monotheist. That's Mamish how they refer to him. You can find his letters and writings about Socrates, he was the damned monotheist. What does he force everybody into? Well, what's wrong with our psychological needs? He's got to be better than everybody else. So Lamaisa, Avraham Avinu without bris was wrong. And the amazing thing is that it was so wrong that it collapsed internally, Lamaisa. In other words, until he developed, he lost Lois.
That's the whole first part of Lexicon, the war, right, in which he's got to go out and save Lois because she's already gone. And Lamaisa, because of that problem, ends up not getting Lois back until Rus. Obviously, the problem still hasn't been solved because you still don't have Mashiach. Those are all Lot issues that went wrong. And those Lot issues go back to the nature of the actual existential experience because it's chesed oriented. The problems in his sensations of existence, which are very important, as we'll talk about it, end up being destructive without a Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence. That's what the Ramban is saying. There's no such thing as a bris in the sense that this is the way the world will be. You'll do this, everything will be fine. Okay. Now, how about the middle part? You have Kurban. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you Kurban. So, time is the Rambam in the Mirna Bukhin about this issue itself. There's some people, he says Mirzikafish, which again, like, nobody understands what he said. He said like this, basically. If I ask you, why did God create the world? You have to say, because that was his will. There's nothing else you could possibly say. Because if ultimately there's any other reason, then the reason becomes God. Because God is uncaused by definition. So why did he create it? So if you hold, let's say you say, well, the world is an expression of truth and what must be. So then it always has to exist. You cannot have such a thing called creation, meaning anti-Kadmus HaOlam, where you have Yesh Me'ayim, and still maintain that there's something other than Ratzon. Because then why didn't that something other than Ratzon exist before? So if this is the nature of things, so why isn't it always here? And if it's not the nature of things, what suddenly triggers it? How can you have it both ways? Okay. The Rambam personally disagrees with that, and I'll explain to you why he disagrees with that. It's very complex. He's like, he's careful not to say too much. So he says, by extension, people who make that first commitment, by extension, they say, so therefore, if I ask you, so why is the world the way it is? They give you the same answer. The world is the way it is because he wants it that way. Which the Rambam says, so in other words, what they're saying is that God is dumber than the dumbest human. Because a human who does things has a purpose in what he's doing. But God, you're not meant to understand, and that's the way it is. I can't keep where you're around. No, shut up. What do you know anyway? It's Xeris. It's not meant to make sense. Right? That says the Rambam, that is sick. How do you mean it's not meant to make sense? How is it not meant to make sense? If the pool of an Adam is meant to make sense, how could the pool of Akadosh Baruch Hu not be meant to make sense? Obviously, there's a difference between something being caused and something making sense and having a purpose. It doesn't have to be caused, but in doing something, then that something has a particular mechanism, way it's structured, to come out with a particular end. For instance, it gives you beautiful goodness. So, for instance, you'll ask this person, these mom is so funny. You'll ask this person, so tell me, why is there a cornea and a retina? And he'll say, because I thought his vocal was gazing. Not that it has anything to do with seeing, you understand? Not that it has anything to do with the structure of life. No. God wanted it this way. I mean, that's the absurdities that you're reduced to. It's brilliant.
Why can't it be Hashem wanted it this way? Because this will now be a proper way to fit in with light and...
Fine. So then that's all I'm saying Chok is meant to be, says Rambam. I'm not saying that Chok is... This is the way I understand what he said. I'm not saying that Chok is meant to be the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it this way. I'm saying Chok means that it's supposed to have a purpose. Its purpose must therefore be reflected in the way the world is meant to be. That's what I find this is around. The reason that the Rambam, the Etzem argues, even though it doesn't explain it in the Mirna Bukhin, is because of his approach in Hilchos Truva. In Hilchos Truva, he explains why there's no contradiction with the Embathira, right? So he says, Tzerech HaTaleda. You need to know this one point. Lemaisa, the one point boils down to that the Chokhmah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not different than his existence. The fact that we see the expression of that thing as a separate issue, structure, the way things fit together, elegance, whatever you want to call it, has nothing to do with the way we view the fact of existence as being separate from the structure of existence. Those are two different issues to us. But when you're talking about absolute existence, those are not two different issues. Structure is innate in whatever existence is. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chokhmah is no difference. That's the old thing. Why you're there, why you're there, the whole idea, right? Mamela, there can't possibly be a problem of causality, because causality, by definition, means the ability to distinguish between cause and effect and so on and so forth. In existential terms, that's not possible. Therefore, says the Rambam, as far as I'm concerned, Bria is also Chokhmah, so shall HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no such thing as a Ratzin that is in Chokhmah. That Ratzin is Chokhmah. So I opine, so why wasn't it there before? That's also Chokhmah. In other words, the impact that you see of existence, I understand what is the existence and non-existence in your terms, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's terms, is all existence, where Chokhmah provides boundary, structure, and so on, of the nature of existence as we experience it. So that's what the problem is. I have a cloud on the exterior. But, let's take the same issue down, one level down, okay? We take it from Isabrachus, and we go down a level, now into the meaning of mitzvahs. Because the Rambam made this comparison. It's a brilliant comparison. Your determination of what it means to be buried an ayah, is it an act of rotzen, or is it an act of chokhmah, has now prejudiced you into thinking about the nature of mitzvahs. Are they gezeiros or are they meaningful? Am I supposed to determine something from them or not? Says the Rambam again, and he says this in a very, very, it's very difficult to understand what he's trying to say, but I believe this is what he means clearly. Says the Rambam, the truth is, there's nobody who really believes this. There's nobody who believes in that parallel. The reason that people say that they believe it is because they need to be marked kadmus ha'elam. And if you take a look through all philosophy and through all chazal, there's only one issue in which there's any machlokas between them. And that's kadmus ha'elam. According to us, yesh me'ayin is a perfectly valid and understandable reality consistent with chokhmah. And according to them, it's not. And that's the underlying issue. I find that that is why we are taught, because of the Hamun Chachamim. It's because there's a mass in the way people view things. Therefore, they say, Akam Sipor Yagir Akamata Mishakinos. It's not that anybody believes it. It's that the moment that you find people getting up, and these rabbis give drushes about the meaning of things, then what you're saying is kadmus ha'olam. Because people are led inexorably to attempt a rational view of the world, in which case, either it's meant to be this way or it isn't meant to be this way. If it's meant to be this way, then that's the way it has to be. You're telling me it's meant to be understandable, so it can't be understandable at one point and not and different at another point. This is the way it is, and this is the way it is. Therefore, in order to avoid that, they were marking this daya, because most people cannot distinguish between the problem of kadmus ha'olam and the way things should be, and then if I tell you it's chokhmah, you'll say, is this the only world that there could be? So then that's what it means. In other words, the people who are saying that the way the eye is constructed, shikachi zeirosai, are essentially saying there's an infinity of ways in which you could see. So if I'm asking you, is this the only world that could be the way in which you could see? The answer is no. Right? And you could have seen maybe you know, using the X-ray portion of the spectrum, like other organisms do. So why do you see using light that responds back to the particular wavelengths that are refracted in what you have as a cornea? Why did you need to call a cornea? You could use X-rays and then you don't need a cornea, and so on and so forth. That, they say, that's his reference. Because after all, there's an infinity of ways that could have been arranged. On that level, it's even true. Nonetheless, ex post facto, if I'm analyzing, okay, but now why do I have a cornea? Because you see in the visual part of the spectrum. Because the light needs to be refracted onto your retina. Is that not still true? Yes. Okay. Now let's take a look at the same thing in mitzvahs. You're asking me, so why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us a mitzvah like that? You're going to say, that's what he wanted. Absolutely. That's what he wanted. Now I'm asking you again. So now what does this mitzvah do? I mean, I can ask you, what does this eye do? You're not going to tell me the eye doesn't do anything. It's just that's what he wanted. Of course it does something. That's the question of malach, and that's how I get back to my top again, and malach. What is that relationship between that's the way he wants, and that's what the chokmah works out to be the mode of malach? So then what is the impact of this mitzvah? I'm gonna keep chakras. You're trying to tell me that chakras is gonna make a difference to the world? The way mishpat is? Or are you going to say, nah, look, that's what he wanted, it's not meant to make any sense, you're not expected to think about it. He says, well, obviously you expect to think about it. Otherwise, how could you say, ki yichach maschem avinaschem le'ne'am, which refers back to chukim and mishpatim tovim, huh? How could you say, l'tol glanu kol hayamim, which is a response to my, it's not chukim and mishpatim. How could they be l'tol glanu if they're just stupid, they don't mean anything? Kach does work there. Chokmasai, not Chokmasai, good saying, I mean. So obviously, this is the Rambam. Nobody really believes that, but people don't believe when the Torah says that something's inside of them, that it's got to have some impact. The Torah says the Pharisees that Goyim will say that these chokim are the kubalim. And he says, and you'll notice, by the way, the word tzaddikim, I'm telling you, Mamish is unbelievable. Says the word tzaddikim, you know what that really is, don't you? Say it. Balanced, right? Balanced. Okay, so if this is balanced, so then obviously it has to have some impact. Therefore, I'm telling you, here in the Mirah, I'm giving you all of these insights. I'm telling you that these insights are meaningful in terms of the application of the mitzvahs. Why do I pass them? This is what he would say, so he doesn't say this. Why do I pass him over there in Hilchos Tefila? There's no steering outside. That's going according to that daya. I don't hold of that daya here. It's not what I'm talking about. Could be Lagabe Tfila, where the whole issue, remember, is not to be mata people into the way in which they deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence, what Tfila is all about. Don't go back and turn it now into a Siva. It's only Siva. You're going to say, you, Rebbeinu Shalom, taught us with this mitzvah to be sensitive to a bird's feelings, therefore you should be sensitive. I'm sorry, I'm telling you how it is you have to be. You're telling me that that means that that's how I am. I am not. It's exer. This is the meaning of exer. But don't turn around now and tell me therefore that's the way I should be. This is only the way I am. And there, if you do that, it's taka pogei, it's kadmus ayilam, so on and so forth. You're defining existence by rachamim al tzipori. There's no such definition.
Didn't we say the whole point of Avram is that if Hashem were to create, if a being were to create a simulation of the world, we can assume that he would create that simulation similar to his own existence? When you're separating Bilam and Avram,
This is existence, yes. We'll get into that. I said we'll get to that problem, why chesed is so important, what the existential element of Avram is. I'm gradually getting that. It's extremely complex subject. Yeah. Yaakov, is this clear or I'm boring you? So talk about it. You like withdraw. We need the input. We need the clarification. So those things that are fuzzy, please fight them out.
Can you be Magyar? Which element is fuzzy? What the Rambam is saying with God is gracious and mitzvahs is clear, the parallel. And let's say it again because it's very important. He's saying in the same way, but this is their argument, in the same way, the argument of those who say that there's no meaning to a cult. It's not meant to be understood. Right? It says, they kind of, and in the same way that you wouldn't dare give a reason for my separation, would you?
Other than what's on the shelf.
Right. So if you won't give a reason for the mita of my separations, why do you give a reason for the mode of my separations? If you're ready to tell me that existence itself is this way I want it, existence to us, just the way in which you want existence, just the way I want it. So if that's the case, the same thing is true about mitzvahs. Just say faculty right to boring on. What does that mean? This is the way I want it.
But this is the way I want it. It doesn't have other elements as well.
Oh, sign is the Rambam. That's exactly like saying that now that there's an eye, I can't analyze the eye as it is. I will find that there could have been an infinity of eyes. So what? There could have been an infinity of universes. This is the universe you're in. So therefore, it doesn't make sense. Therefore, we can't have a science that explains the interrelationship of the elements of the universe as it is. And when I come to Boku, says, Vayala, you must tell us your authority ain't code mode. What does that mean? Sign is the Rambam. I don't know. What does that mean? Obviously, it's what he means. I mean, what kind of stupid thing is that if you're telling me that this is his Gezeira? This is what I want. So then you look back at it and say, oh, gee, that's pretty good. I don't understand. This is what you wanted. You would have wanted something else, and that would have been pretty good. What kind of idiotic meaning is that? LMI, we're talking about two different issues. There's the fact of creation, and then there's the interrelationship of its parts in terms of how it's... That's what it is.
So the why is the how.
Okay, or the malach. The malacha, the functionality, what's happening. Correct? Those are the midas. Because remember, as kol tuvi al panecha, the Rambam elsewhere explains, is the pasuk of kol asher asavi nito. That's kol tuvi. Kol tov, which means that the anhagas of the yud gimel midas include essentially all possible interrelationships within the universe as it's found, and therefore those midas are themselves a description of reality, not simply of anhagas.
Those are the malachim. Those are the.
But they're more fundamental than malachim. Malachim are the modes in which they are active within the world.
Process, there's meaning, and then there's content.
Well, okay, there's the concept of it, and then there's the structure of it, and then there's the translation of it, and then there's the functionality of it.
So say that, you know, are those who ignore all of that because...
Because, the Rambam says, I believe that the reason that they ignore it is because of the way that it challenges Yesh Me'ayim. And therefore, in order to be marked this issue, they go to the other extreme. But, in a different paragraph, he says, there are idiots that have a rotten heart and that refuse to own up to the fact that they have a rotten heart. Well, he's talking basically about Christian ideas, in which they say that if you tie into that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bria is Ritzenai, but doesn't make any sense, that's even better than having it make sense, because I mean, I'm honest, my father's a thought, told me a reminder, he was sitting next to a priest on a bus, and the priest, and he's learning, you know, the priest finally turns over to me and says, you know, you Jews have it so easy. I says, what do you mean? Says, everything you believe in makes sense. Says, we have to constantly fight it because we believe in things that make no sense at all. So then, Akhidekah, that isn't what he was referring to before. That he wasn't referring to the Rambam. That's a far-fetched thing where a person really believes that. He's saying that Achamim don't really believe it.
They don't really believe it. That mitzvahs are not meant to be understood. That's the whole parish talking about that. He said, and even the way, you know what everybody says. Shlomo HaMelech understood all of the mitzvahs, but he didn't understand Parah Aduma. Well, what's that supposed to mean? Right? You know about that famous thing they always say. Well, so, if there's nothing to understand, what do you mean Shlomo understood it? There's nothing to understand. So obviously they themselves are not made underneath it all. But of course it has to make sense. Nothing in the Torah, no pasuk adds up if it doesn't make sense. Fine. Now, he says, now there's another issue which I know you're going to throw at me. And this is the issue we spoke about yesterday as we're going down the stairs. There's another issue you're going to talk to me about. You're going to say, so then why does it say that, what does God give a hang where it is you shack an animal, you break its neck, you cut the ruba shakana, mekta shakana, it's only the tire of the sabriyas. Oh! Now there you go, says the Rama. So what does that mean? There's no meaning to it. It's all just basically, look, you know, I'm putting you through your paces, do it. Don't ask me, it makes sense. I don't know why I did it that way. It could have been another way. It's all the same. That's what it's saying, says the Rama, right?
This is arbitrary.
This is completely arbitrary. But see, my Papa is not going to work with it. He doesn't care, so then I'm asking him. He says, now you have to understand that is a now a lower nested level. Because what first we talked about, Bria, and the way Bria is. Then we talked about mitzvah, the giving of mitzvah, and the way mitzvahs impact the world. There's yet another level underneath it, says the Rambam. The nature of the mitzvah in toto, and its details. Is there a purpose to bring in karbanos? Absolutely. Very important purposes, which I will explain to you elsewhere. And we know, but he views that as being central to the whole nature of psychology of a desire, religion, and so on and so forth. But, says the Rambam, if anybody is idiotic enough to start telling me why you need to use Sheva Hazoyos instead of three Hazoyos and here a Pora and there a Keves, I say he's out of his cotton picking mind. He's sick. Because it's all bias for us. I mean, whatever he's going to say, he says it. Basically, there's one rule. This is another ingenious thing. I mean, I'm putting together things like from all over, but they're all in the Myrna book. Basically, this is one rule. The rule is, if you would have asked exactly the same question, if the information would have been otherwise, then you can't ask that question. So let's say I would have said Chomesh Hazoyos. You would have said, gee, why Chomesh? Okay, so now I say seven. Gee, why seven? Isn't that stupid? So whatever it is you say, so now you'll say, oh, must be it's a Remes. What? Remes. I mean, what are you going to know? It could mean anything. Because, all right, you wouldn't be happier if I said anything else. So if all things don't make you happy, so what are you going to make yourself happy by giving an explanation? That's not a question. So the particular value that you supply to a parameter is meaningless. The fact that there needs to be such a parameter, that, yes, that's meaningful. Those things are all basically interrelated between themselves. They're not meant to have absolute meaning.
Or, understandably, they have meaning, obviously.
No. That's what Chazal is saying. My problem, I don't really care. No, it's the fact you're saying.
Well, all of the evidence, it won't be clear that this is why we have said
the same way.
I know it says this current element is to eat the veilus. If the veilus were really meaningful, so how could you have them in the Nile element? That's what we were talking about yesterday in terms of answering Daniel's question.
I think they were eating it
all over. Well, the last level after CSMH and the Mashiach, Livyasan and so on, or Shem Livyasan, whatever that art, you know, whatever it is. Shor Haba, whether it needs to have kosher shvita or not, and that's all discussion. But the measure's incredible measure. It's hard for your soul. Livyasan love was that they can eat in the veil.
For a shah?
No, in other words, because now you're past the stage in which you need to make that difference. But this is a big, it's in this issue where the Rambam and the Balei Kabbalah have major. Obviously, it's the whole business of Kabbalah, which the Rambam says,
I guarantee you that anybody who takes that path ends up a weirdo. That's what Maharishi says. It's very interesting. And that's first, I mean, that's what you see. People that go along that path, they end up weird. Because there's nothing that is sufficiently structured for them to give an explanation. It's always ad hoc. That's why people don't like Hasidic Torah. It's what you feel like at this moment. So, you know, so since in your mind I sense some connection, so let's make that connection. Where did it come from? What's your marker? Why are you saying it? Where, you know, that's very, very destructive and very bothersome to someone who is used to seeing a halacha. This is where it comes from. This is far. This is the Mishnah. This is its marker in the Pesukim. This is its Tiyur. This is the Mitzvota. So on and so forth. What's this business saying? It feels like this. It so feels like this a lot. Okay, fine. These are the three nested levels that he discusses, which he sticks to throughout the entire third section of the book, where he gives all of the time on mitzvahs, lishitas, right? On the level of the general meaning of the mitzvah.
What's the meaning of something like shaykh?
What's that?
What's the meaning of like where you have a shaykh?
The hanhaga path all of the machshava?
Right.
Okay, so but shtoke could mean on the getter of chok. In other words, we understand that kap olabah makshava in terms of hanhaga is that betchila olabah makshava libraisa elam midas adin. So that it's a remnant to that. Rosh Eniopoli Skayim. There's already in that very first word of Bar Elohim, in that word, there's already a contradiction of what I want and what works. Right? So we have over here, there's the concept, and then there's a path that needs to get to that concept. If you're going to tie it to me, that Rabbi Akiva is holding by Bereshit, as I originally saw it, don't expect it to work within the world. It doesn't work, you're right, stop it. Unacceptable that Rabbi Akiva should be less harsh than a Bechor Behemoth. And Besorah should be B'makayon. So you're right, it's unacceptable. But Lamaita got all of the Makshava outside of the way the world works, it makes perfectly good sense. In a sense, this is the Rizet and Rambam, even in Hilchos Teshuvah, is exactly this issue. Because the Rizet ties to the Rambam that there's no need to ask the question about Yedi and Bechira anyway, you don't know how to answer it. Why don't you simply say, that with, again, the way I understand the Rivet, otherwise the Rivet comes out sounding horrific, like the Arsameach says, God should only forgive the Rivet. I mean, he's talking like an Apicurus over here. But the real meaning of the Rivet is clear to me. And he's absolutely right. What the Rivet essentially says is, God doesn't know. Now, what's the problem? I forgot that he does know. It's always in terms of a statistical knowledge of it. Meaning what? That since the Ratzon, he speaks this out, since the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to give over the world into the hands of an Adam to do choices, so certainly within that world he doesn't know, isn't that right? Because if he did, then there's no answer. The Rabbi's answer that it's not Akasha means it's not Akasha outside of the world. Even the Rabbi has to be made within the terms of Bria, in which knowing, so-called, quote, knowing, unquote, has a particular meaning within the structure, which would result in its creating problems of the Bechira. So therefore, that knowledge is indeed not there by separation. What's so terrible about that? It's not enough, says the Rivet. There's nothing wrong with saying that. I make it on the Rivet, which says the God of Yet HaMashiach. God himself doesn't know in the sense that there's an internal reality. I don't even say it to myself. Meaning that I don't allow its gilui to be there within the other. It's not part of my separation. Okay? That's sufficient. Lemaisa, that's exactly what the Rambam is saying about the difference between the act of Bereshis and the meaning of what it is within Bereshis. Obviously, I have to analyze what it means once it's there. But to ask me why it was made this way, of course there's no why in a voracious situation. It's the way things want it to be. But don't think want to be as arbitrary either. Wanting to be as an expression of existence, the nature of being, which is his chokhmah. And that same chokhma was geyser. Why it shouldn't always be in our terms? What's wrong with that? It turns out nobody's really arguing. That's what I'm saying. I think that's what he's trying to say.
So you're saying
that
Kach Olam
HaShava
is the description of what's going on?
Kach Olam HaShava is outside. Yes, but you have to remember that the world as we have it is exceedingly nested as well. Right? First of all, I mean, you have the Atzilas, Bria, Yetzir, Atzia, and so on and so forth. That itself is the Shindik levels of nesting. And then you have the nesting of the description of Maitre Rashi itself, which is gracious. And then you have Elohim, as opposed to the actual Hashem Elohim at the end, which is a level of nesting that doesn't allow the Anhaga of Elohim. And then you have the Vayas, as opposed to Vayomer. And then you have the Totse, as opposed to the direct Atziyah, the Atziyah Elohim. Each one of these things is a different world. After all of that, you have the difference between a Gan Eden that has no connection to the cause and effect world that we're used to, and then the Yetziyah from Gan Eden in the world which we are used to. Right? And I believe that there are other levels of nesting also. There's the pre-Mabel level, which has nothing to do with our vision of history at all. Right? The Mabel doesn't exist within our history, and the concept of a year in which there's no mazolos, and I mean all of that obviously doesn't have anything to do with the history that we have, and is it meant to? There's yet another level. That's what Chazal called Tohu. Those of you may know they're still part of the chaos of creation. The way that we have a settled vision of what history is, the way cause and effect, and so on, did not exist until after the verse with Naya. Fine. What's so terrible about that? The truth is, I believe that it goes even further. I believe that the nature of simple history is meant to be subjective and not objective. Which is, by the way, part of Shivas HaBatamas. Because the question is, did Shivas HaBatamas ever happen? According to the Yerushalmi, Shivas HaBatamas never happened. It's a mistake. But we preserve the mistake because that's the way they viewed it. Yeah, there's no such thing. But okay, so then since the Navi finds out about something on certain day, they thought it was that day, so we made it that day. Why not? Tisha B'Av was not Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av was actually on the Rosh Chodesh. But they thought that it was Tisha B'Av because until the information got there for B'Av and so on, fine, so it could be Tisha B'Av. So in other words, at today's path, that we are not marked according to that sheet. We're not mocked on what would objective history mean? History is anachronism. Those are patterns that are perceived. By definition, that's what a pattern is. If this is the way, this is what your Zikar is, that's the only reality. Because back, if you take a look at Maitre Bereishis as a whole, there's nothing there. In other words, what is the information of Maitre Bereishis? The information is only what isn't there, not what is there, correct? Because in terms of what is there, everything is there. Everything at once is just white noise. Mm-hmm. So in other words, it's your selection of the information that's there that makes it information. Otherwise, I would say, obviously all the information is there. I mean, if I have a random list of numbers that is infinite, somewhere in there is pi. So therefore, pi is already there. What do I have to work out pi for? That's the point. You only know that it's pi because you work out the information. This, wow, what an amazing thing. There's pi. Yeah, well, if it keeps on going like that in random course, there's going to be one infinity. That's the infinity of pi. No. What's the chiddush in that? But that doesn't make it useful in information in terms of history. The same thing is true. The Maitre Bereishis consists of, that's what Arizal says, Maitre Bereishis consists of Tzimtzum. Within Maitre Bereishis itself, the Adam's Mitzimtzum vision of reality is the only thing that allows them to survive. If you were aware of all things, you would be aware of nothing. So the thing that gives a particular identity is your determination of how to structure reality. So your brain structures reality in a particular way. It's very artificial. I mean, even what you hear, it's completely artificial. You have an ability to focus your ear. Why? Because that's what happens. If somebody can't have natural hearing, they put in a hearing aid, they can't understand anything. Why? Because all the sounds are magnified the same way. They can't focus one sound. So now they're creating computerized hearing aids that are sensitive particularly to the structure of speech and so on, filter out the other noise elements. I understand, but then I'm not hearing. That's the point. You're hearing everything, you wouldn't hear a thing. Right, so now you have an ability to walk into a room where everybody's blabbing, and you can hear a particular conversation if you want to hear that conversation. Okay, so you focus on certain tones, word structures, and so on and so forth that those two people are using, and you filter it. That's an immensely complex program to be able to do, which you need expert systems and a computer to be able to do that. Right? So it's just starting to bring such things online. But I'm saying that means that what you call information is totally subjective. So in a sense, that issue of Bilam's Taina, that everything anyway is rega, and therefore everything is carried by definition. This is again what we're dealing with. That's why Zechira is the opposite of Amalek. The Zechor, Masha Salach Amalek, is the Nekuda. That's the opposite of Amalek. Because by Amalek's terms, Zechira is a meaningless activity. Since it's only personal. Our time is that my vibration is only personal. So what could be more meaningful than my vibration? It's what there is what's meaningful. But it's only because I found it meaningful. Which is why we are the ones that are making my vibration. That's the bridge. Okay, so now getting back to our discussion. First of all, obviously there's going to be an opportunity between the things that are choked and the things that are mishpat in terms of their presence in the world. That's a given. Otherwise, all things would be mishpat. According to the question that you're asking, the achila of one type of meat over another should be mishpat. It's clearly chok. Right? I'm saying, even on the grossest level of discriminating the issues, that would still be true. We wouldn't expect that chok would have an immediate impact on physicality. Then, we have the next. So far, so good? I'm saying, he asked, where did it all start the conversation? He asks, why, if Lamaisa, there's supposed to be an impact, or an interrelationship, a nesting, between these two levels of reality. Yeah, well, everything that is Mishalso from that. In other words, what we were telling you is that's the problem of Eva. If Yisrael is functioning, how are darkly seen on Eva's? El Lachai is, or in a deeper way, Yerushalayim is Yerushalayim because of the fact that it's a physical expression of what it means to be an Am Hashem and what it is on Yisrael and Arapaita and so on and so forth. The fact that it isn't that way is a breakdown in the whole Matthias Ayalon. We were tiny. He's saying, why is it a breakdown in the Matthias Ayalon? Is it a breakdown in the Matthias Ayalon where a piece of kosher is noticeably different than a piece of kosher meat?
You can't see the difference in produce and cold.
Yeah, I don't see any differences in that, so I don't understand. What are you talking about? Right? So what's your problem? So there should be no non-community. So fine, the Adam should be immortal, but he's not immortal. Is that a problem? You expect everything that has, and a person who does mitzvahs is supposed to have a better life.
The ace is pointing out a contradiction. That's it. Or life is a contradiction.
So if that's true, then we shouldn't mourn. We have nothing to mourn. Right? As he's saying, so it goes back, and if you view that as paradoxical, then you might as well commit suicide.
That's
the way it is. Right? So that's what I'm saying.
Why would you serve an ace or somebody?
Exactly. You can't answer.
Every day is cremated.
Or just forget about it, exactly. But to say, I'll be in a state of availus in order to be the sake, in order to answer the Eicha, that doesn't make any sense. Okay. So the first thing I said was, look, let's not be simplistic. If we're talking about a chok, then by definition, we wouldn't call it a chok if we expected it to have an impact that is measurable on a scale so that kosher meat weighs something different, you know, per given unit than non-kosher meat. Or we don't really believe, I mean, there are some idiots who believe this, but we don't really believe that if you put a person on a scale, that after he dies, he weighs something different. Because after all, his soul has left him. The nature of the interrelationship of the energy of his life to his mass has got to be found on the scale.
You don't find it there, though.
That's right. And you don't expect to measure certain things.
All right, so that's the first issue we need to discuss. There's obviously going to be a difference there. Let's go deeper. In the nature of the overall expression of things, this itself, that's an overall thing. Nobody can turn around and say, I don't understand. I've learned every day. I put mezuzahs on my house, and it didn't rain. So what does the Rebbeinu Shalom answer? I wasn't talking to you, sir. I was talking to Yisrael. I mean, what are you telling me? You did it. That's very nice. You'll have your scar. This and that. I mean, I didn't say that I'll be involved in the world as a whole of it because you did it. This was a bridge to cross Yisrael. Whatever it was. I don't know, 80%. It depends what you could have done. Were you mochia? Did you do what you could have done? That's all part of the bris. Is the arbus on it. There's an interrelationship here. I can't, it's not going to be something that you're going to be able to measure in that fashion. You did it. So what if you did it?
So what's my
that opinion? Doesn't mean that there isn't a relationship because of bris, but it's not a natural relationship.
So what's my relationship with bris?
As Yisrael.
By the cause.
Exactly. And that's why Arvus is the essence of the bris. I can't even think of a bris without Arvus. Bris means Arvus. So the concept of Arvus, that's part of what it means to be an Eretz Yisrael. That's a given. You can't discuss it without that. Because the nature of Eretz Yisrael is the integrated response of Yisrael as a saga, not an individual, not an individual door, nothing. The totality of Yisrael. Within that process, we do as much as possible to make the Hanhagas consistent with Brits. To whatever extent it's possible, if I tell you as part of this Brits, listen to me, you'll take care of Shiluach HaKein, we'll give you Arichas Yom. Guaranteed. The shaila of how much that Arichas Yom can be expressed in the functionality of physicality, as I'll give it to you. Not that there's a cause and effect, to which, by the way, this is the famous Shalom that gets very angry with Ramban. What do you mean? That's what all Kabbalah is about. It explains that there are laws of nature that are causal in terms of what you're calling nature. This sinners of Hashpah. This is the way that the world is. If you act in such and such a way, you're Megala such and such a chaos, and therefore comes water from that chaos, and this particular mitzvah, the sinor, the such and such on Hanukkah. So what do you mean it's nisi? I mean, obviously the response to that is that that's why Hasidim went Meshuggah. That's why Bali Kabbalah died young. If you start believing that the world is essentially an advanced computer which you poke the right buttons and you get the right responses, then you've destroyed all nature of bris. Bris is a relationship. No relationship can ever function based on buttons. Since I know you like this, I'll push that button and get you. That's a relationship. That's a manipulation. That's the ultimate Eun Tfilah. So the nature of bris is basically itself dependent on surprise. It's the same surprise as Shavu'ot Eicha. Remember how in Dune Paul is so miserable that nothing ever surprises him. Nobody reads Dune. God, it's like nothing to talk about over here. You remember Dune. This thing, you went to Karim, you didn't read Dune.
I was in the Tolkien area.
The Tolkien area. Yeah, you're right. Mm. I thought you were on a shootout during Dune. Down in Santa Cruz.
What is that
doing? Right. Are you yummy? Yes, indeed. Right? So the surprise of Eicha is the Esam, the surprise that underlies bris. In other words, the very fact that we live in the world in which you never know what the Rebbeinu Shalom is going to do. Only ex post facto you could say, oh, Pacha Mita Kenega Mita. You'll never sit and say, so this is what's going to happen. Because if I were God, this is how I would do it. You know 100%, the moment you make a choice like that,
that's
the exact opposite.
That's the one thing you know for sure.
That's right.
That's the one thing
you know. One thing you know 100% is that you will be surprised. Right? So why is it that way? Because that's what we're seeing.
That is the nature of Eicha itself that leaves things open by definition, because of the nature of randomness, is what makes Bris possible. Otherwise, you end up like Bilam. There's no Bris. There's only an openness to eternal surprise, which you look for patterns and you try to make use of them, like Haman does with his board. You certainly don't expect that it should make sense in terms of a relationship. You're not going to turn around and say, well, you see, the reason for this surprise is because Kodesh Baruch Hu likes surprises. That's not for sure, but what do you mean? You're not going to say the purpose of my separation is a surprise, are you? We will say yes. That's exactly what we believe. That's what it boils down to. To the extent that it's surprising, it allows for interconnection that is real and makes a difference what my choice is. If it's not surprising, it's either mechanical, in which case it's predefined and determined, or it's completely meaningless because there aren't any patterns there.
What meaning does my original take on? If I know well, you believe that you're going to have a risk going, well, surprise, now you're dead. So then what meaning does it have?
That's the ultimate faith, right? That's the ultimate love.
No,
that's not a true atapa.
Correct.
So what is it there to say? It's not necessarily.
So therefore, what it's saying is that if you analyze the words, This is exactly what Rabbi Yaakov was saying in the Gemara, which he said, gee, it's a shame Akra didn't see it that way. Because that's what we were asking. So what's, I mean, like, every idiot could say that. Well, you know, be okay in Olam Haba. I mean, we've been hearing that since Chavrei Iyov. I mean, we need Rabbi Yaakov to tell us that. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes fun of them. He says they're a bunch of idiots with all of their talk. The only one who's half intelligent over here is Dio. That's the end of the paper. All these religious guys, go let them bring Karbanas for all of their talk. What do they know? Now, so what's Rabbi Yaakov coming up with? So what we were timing on Shabbos of the Talmud is that Rabbi Yaakov was Gufa saying, no, it's not the Pshat of Tzvei Lamana. It's the Pshat that in a nested reality, something means the same thing across the board. The nature of the aspect of reality in which it's not shy to say Laman Yarifin Yamecha to someone who's on his 120th birthday is not a pagam in saying Laman Yarifin Yamecha. It's saying that the same balance that allows you to recognize that the connection between an Olam Haba level of reality and an Olam Hazeh level of reality is the connection between, let us say, a process and the end of a process, then you understand that there are definitions to the nature of process that are built into the concept of nesting. The reason that it's nested is because the process is connected to the end, and the end is connected to the process. Either kind of there seems to be a breakdown because of that. Well, of course there is. Otherwise it would be one world, it wouldn't be nested worlds, correct? So therefore you're going to turn around and you're going to say, gee, that's a contradiction. I mean, after all, if I was meant to be an Olam Haba, why do I have to work for it? That's the same question. Or why don't I already have my Olam Haba? I should think that, but then you wouldn't be working. Oh. So then how can I have an Olam Haba if I have to work? I don't understand. Then what's the point of working with this Olam Haba? So you don't view that as a contradiction. Therefore, nesting means that all of the elements will be extant to whatever extent they're expressible in the context of reality and space-time, or the idea of space-time. Those are the dimensions that allow for that reality to be expressed in the level of that reality. Would you say that since an infant has to have the capabilities of interrelating to his parents, let's say, and therefore we will see infantile erections, that means he has to be royal via before 3 or before 9? Well, and so what does one have to do with the other? One is a level of development within the physical world. The other is a level of development within the psychological milieu. The other is a level of development within the electrochemical aspect. So what are you going to say? Since all organisms have to reproduce, and they will all have certain electrochemical modes that trigger reproduction, So therefore, do they say, therefore, love is oxytocin? One after the other. Or you're going to say that someone who is sterile, since he's in love, automatically should be able to reproduce. That's not a kasha. It's not a kasha. To whatever extent it's possible for that relationship to be actually nested directly one-to-one, it will be. But most complexity is not a one-to-one simple relationship. It's extremely complex. So you might as well find it. Well, gee, if statistically I can flick a switch and the light goes on, why can't I determine quantum mechanics too? I understand, because in that level of reality, you can't possibly define a particle in that way. So it becomes a contradiction in terms. Well, I mean, I guess I can put two things, one on top of the other in this world, so why shouldn't I be able to take two electrons and put them next to each other? So what is it? That's not a possibility on that level of reality. In order to have a level of reality in which there's a concept of discreteness, then discreteness implies quantum. On your level, discreteness implies a three-dimensional manifold. Whatever. I'm saying it's not a kasha. Again, it's like a flat round idea. You inhabit one dimension. But that dimension is inside three dimensions. So therefore, you're going to kind of, gee, how come I don't see the elephant? All I see is a line that moves in and out as the elephant walks. That's all you can see in one dimension. So what do you expect? But that doesn't mean it's not nested. The elephant's there in your world. It's just that you're only seeing elements of it because that's all that's available within one dimension. Right? That's what he's saying. He's saying it's exactly that thing. If it isn't possible, it isn't possible. So what? So therefore, there's no nesting. We get thrown out the whole idea of nesting because you haven't figured out the one-to-one correlation. You know what that's like saying? It's like saying, since I will never be able to figure out the particular movement in the particular neurons that creates the thought of doing this mitzvah, therefore, we don't need brains to do mitzvahs. So let's throw out the brains. That's what you're saying. And that's what we're telling you. Il moly darshe. Akhil, Akhil, Rabyakhil, we never would have gone off the wall. Because obviously that's true. And this relates directly to what the Rambam is saying. Don't confuse levels of reality. What are you going to talk about? The quantum level of reality is whether there's three zrikas, two zrikas, seven zrikas. You expect that to have a direct correlation to your conceptual reality? Why would you think that? Wherever it's linkable, it's linkable. Where it isn't linkable, it isn't linkable. As Rabbi Yaakov said earlier, that doesn't mean that it doesn't have an existential presence. Sure it does. Does the quantum world not have an existential presence? Of course it has a presence. You're going to find it ultimately. Isn't it true that every element that's an expression that I've got involved with Matthias is real in some ultimate way? Of course it is. So what? But that doesn't mean so. But anyway, let's all go out and do every avera possible, because after all, we wouldn't want to be to the chaser. The realm should be full of all the good things it could have. Okay? Now there's an additional element here that also makes things much more complex, which the Rambam also brings. He is so far ahead of his time. I'm telling you, every single time you read him, it's just flops. What did he talk about? He said, look, you have to recognize the level of complexity of human beings. Since the most complex thing in the universe is the human brain. I mean, how does he know that? He talked about the Murkavut, literally. Mother's modern human Murkavut. The Murkavut of the human being, the way in which it utilizes different elements and interrelates them, that's where you really get into issues that you have to deal with in terms of tiny hamitzvahs. Because if you ignore the result of that complexity, and he says, what's the evident result of that? The most evident result is that the way in which a human being lives is to increase the complexity of his surroundings. You never see animals going around building cities. So why is the level of social construct in a human being so much more than it is in an animal? Now, you're kind of, what do you mean?
What about the immensely complex and organized social structure of a hive, of a colony? Unbelievably well organized. There are human beings that build cities of that level? And here is the beauty of the whole thing, my friends. The fact that the Murkavut is fluid is infinitely more complex than complexity that is structured. So we're back to chaos again. If you take a fluid complexity, you end up with a human being. If you take a structured complexity, you end up with a beehive. It's amazing. Both of them are dibur, which is astounding. One is a devora, and one is a dibur. Right? So in other words, it means that in our, it gets back again to the problem of the relationship to language. In our relationship of olive bays, what we have is a fluid reality that can be put together in any possible way. Those are the otios of Eretz, essentially. I'm telling you, I'll give you 22 ingredients, and you can say anything that was ever said, and that ever will be said. So basically, you'll say, okay, so then why bother saying it? Let's just write out the olive base. As a matter of fact, if I want to, I can include all of the information of the world in one dot. No. I, practically, physically, I can do it. Here's how we'll do it. We will assign every one of the letters of the olive base a number. You've got to get in order. You have to go. All right, just this. We'll assign every letter of the olive base a number. It'll have a sub-number, olive, because it's in Lashon HaKodesh. We'll take every language, we'll give it another sub-number, okay? We'll translate every book ever written, every encyclopedia, everything in the Library of Congress, and the way we'll translate it is in a code. A equals 1, B equals 2, and now we will put that code. We will take all of those things that were ever written, and we will make one long number out of that code. Okay? It's not infinite, it's a big number. So that if you know that number, you simply recode it. This is an olive. Olive equals the Hebrew letter olive. Olive days is equal to the English letter A. Olive gimel equals the Greek letter alpha, and so on and so forth. Okay? Now I have a number that has everything that everybody knew at all times. Okay? Now, I take that number, and I put 1 over that number. I now have a fraction. Now I take a long line, or better yet, I take the universe. I put a particle, 1 photon, in the place of the universe that represents the ratio of 1 to that number. Now I say, there it is, ladies and gentlemen, we now have everything ever known, and in fact, it's the most rational thing you've ever seen. Why not? It makes perfectly good sense. So in other words, it's the fluid, the yizal, as Dylan puts it, right? It's the fluidity itself that is more important than the particular structure of information at any one time. This, by the way, is what drove Pythagoras to murder. They killed people for saying that. Literally, the mamash killed people. Because if somebody was megala that the Pythagorean theorem leads to irrationality, because there is no ratio that can express the square root of 2, then there's a pogrom in the entire structure of cosmos. Because it remains fluid. They've almost killed people for saying that. Because then how could there be Kedusha in the numbers? Then that's me telling you it's all mikra. That was their vision of Bilam, was to hold that the world is irrational, ultimately. It's amazing. Okay, and you'll notice that the level of irrationality, essentially, kicks in on the level of nesting, because in a sense, every square root is a nested reality of that thing. It's
is why in Kabbalah it's so central. The element that's in spirits and numbers, essentially. But this defines as a structure. It's a structure for what the Rambam says is the nature of reality. It's not the elements of the Yudhim Omidei. It's the interrelationship of the elements. The same thing in your brain. How many different neurons, the types of neurons do you have? That's not the issue. It's the interrelationship between them that's important. What that means is that ultimately the level of meaning where we would expect to see it is the relationship between these different levels of reality is itself going to be a function of relationship, which is bridging it. So therefore, for many reasons, your question is not a serious question. Right? In other words, nobody in his right mind would ever suggest that the relationship of meaning of Olam Haba to Olam Hazeh requires an absolute one-to-one correlation, so that a piece of meat, which is a hope, should be expressed as something that I can measure differently on the scale. No one would expect that, and no one would even imagine that it's a discern that it shouldn't be that way. Nonetheless, in terms of levels of interrelated complexity, how is that possible? How will they know that they should say it's very balanced not to eat chazer? How do they know? How should they know the difference? Rashi says, how can they count? They'll say there's five bottom in your tefillin. They'll say, shake him at them. How do they know shake him at them? Therefore, there is clearly the difference between the result of a process that seems to run randomly over a long time and the patterns that it generates, which is Klal Yisrael developing al pi the mitzvahs, done accurately, no one will open their mouth. If you are a Ben Yisrael that does mitzvahs within the context of an arm that does mitzvahs and in the correct way, and that hasn't screwed it up, you will be looked at as intelligent. Does that mean that anyone can measure why this particular element is intelligent? No, no more than you know how many hazoyas to do in a car. But of course that's not intelligent. Nobody is going to say Shabbos makes sense. It doesn't make sense. It's not meant to make sense. But they will certainly say any society and civilization that has developed to the point that this civilization has developed built on, you'd say they said include things that we don't find justifiable in and of themselves, such as respect for genetic integrity, is just an amazing design. That doesn't mean I can explain it or I can tell you which elements it would be safe to remove. And the moment that they look at a Klal Yisrael that doesn't do it that way, and that they do, apparently again, random things differently, five parshas in Yisrael instead of four, they look at them and they say, what a bunch of idiots. Why? Because the process indeed creates patterns of idiocy that are so evident that when they're allowed to run, any idiot in the street knows that these guys are bigger idiots. Okay, so that's a completely different level of complexity which has to do with patterns. Nobody's going to suggest that a moment that a person becomes a tzaddik gomer, so the telomeres in his DNA are going to change in such a way that his cells can reproduce forever and he becomes immortal. And that's not because I understand it. There's not going to be a one-to-one correlation between my achievement and a physical impact on the world. But now the shayla is, what happens to the aspect of bris, to the presence of the Shekhinah, to what the Gemara was calling Haganah, and so on and so forth, right? All right, so we know, it's the same thing as the Rambam says, you're going to war, and you're not thinking about anything but the right reasons that you're going to war, I guarantee you, you're going to come back alive. How could that be? I understand. If you're shot at, you're going to die. What do you mean, I guarantee you're going to come back alive? Because the war is not a question of some winning of the weaponry. War, correctly, is a question of cultural superiority, even a simple stuff. Because we understand the reason the Muslims believe, they're going to defeat the West is not because they're going to end up with greater weapons, but because they are superior in terms of their culture. In the end, our Messiah's message will defeat the West.
which is true. Since you don't care, you don't have values, and you make up values that you're so stupid about that they're mamish from the chaylai to egel, so you'll allow yourselves to be destroyed. And it's on that that we base it. We know that to you it's so important not to do religious stereotyping that we'll be able to go and blow you up. Because you wouldn't chas v'shalom stop an Arab just because he's an Arab. That's racist. So we know how stupid you are. So for that stupidity, we will defeat you. And we look at that as that's such a horrible thing to do, to take advantage of our good heart. It's not your good heart, it's your cultural inferiority. You're not willing to survive because you don't believe in you believe in life in some kind of silly, being nice to people way. What does that do with life? If so, believe that, nothing would have ever evolved. And we're still doing what needs to be done. Which is fantastic, they're right. There's no question, that's the reason that Yishmael exists. Is to prod the world to make choices. You want to go dancing around your silly games and fine, you'll see, you won't survive. You'll bite the dust. Too scared to take a stand? Hey, Mr. Philippine, we're going to cut off your head. Well, you can take a stand. No, we're going. Okay, fine. Go. Hey, Mr. Spanish man. Hey, buddy. Ah, you don't like the trees blowing up? Huh? You going to take a stand? No. Oh, okay, go ahead. So one by one, they knock you off. He makes a stand. A bus driver should get his head handed to him. You're right. It's amazing, huh? Okay, so this is their tachlis, which was their original tachlis, Monsieur Sanders. That's why Bris Mila at 13 has a totally different meaning than Bris Mila at 8 days. It means something different. Huh? It means something different. To Yishmael, it means Monsieur Sanders, control, dedication. To a Jew, it means identity. It has nothing to do with any of those issues. Because it's done to me. I'm born into it. So it means the way in which I develop my sexual identity, my moral identity. That's because I'm an infant that I mean, it was supposed to be. I mean, you know, it's not supposed to be growing up in a Christian society in which it's not mentioned in polite society that, you know, that you have a bris mila. In Christian societies, you don't even have genitals. How do you have a bris mila? Again, it's a completely different vision of what life is all about. That's the result of it. So Lachora, the Eicha element is meant to be in the ultimate sense of the nest. In other words, if, and the truth is, asking Daniel's question is the deepest giui of the meaning of the Eicha. Because what really bothers us? Why don't we also say what Rabbi Yaakov said? What do you mean Eicha? I understand. So you expect it because you're a good guy, you're not going to die? So then we go back to the Ramban. So why are we misabo? That's the way the world is. What's there to be misabo about? People live and die. I understand. The way I put it is, Mamash, I think, is such a simple way of looking at it. We're very prejudiced because we don't like dying. But if you ask somebody, oh, we should be in Avelis. Why? Because, you know, I made a party in 1946. You weren't born yet. It's a shrek. There's a world without you. You don't hope you should mourn that the world existed without you? So what do you mean? I wasn't born yet. What's not to be true not being born yet or having already died? It makes absolutely no difference. It's exactly the same thing. This was the period of you. I understand. You're saying, well, I understand I wasn't meant to be before my time, no, but you're meant to be after your time. But what made us the cloud? It's just so stupid. it's just a prejudice. You want to go on forever. I said, why did you want to go on forever in the past? I don't think about that part. Right? It's fantastic. How true it is. This is the coke of your being. This is what you is. What do you say? I want to be something that isn't me. It's the same way you don't dream of having always existed. Why do you dream of always existing? You accept the fact that to be me means to have a certain dimensional element, which is me in space-time. Without it, there can't be a you. So those limitations are the definition of creation for other you. How else could it be?
Before earlier in time, you were just a you. Mm-hmm. So time.
That's not so partial, because you give Rebbe Eliezer a chance to be Rebbe Eliezer in an alternative universe. Because Volker says, let me start the world over again,
really,
and make the benefit a stupid offer.
It would be some, there's some part of it.
What does that mean? What does that mean? It must mean that there's some existential element that is Rebbe
Eliezer. Right.
Part is Rebbe Eliezer. Enough for me to accept the fact that it would be me.
And that's why I'm sorry on the existential part of the only?
The truth is, of course.
Okay.
I believe that's ultimately the difference between real Avelis and between maudlin Avelis. In other words, the existential element indeed needs to be an absolute. And is. That's why there's Leila Mado. That's why we can talk about Gilgulim and such things. Because that's all that we mean. Is that the existential identity may find itself in various alternative realities. That's not a kasha to say, so how did it line up with my psychology when I had 8 tentacles? Differently. But nonetheless, not in a way that it would have affected your sense of what it is to be you. Yes, of course it would have affected your memories, your history, the way in which you express those things in personality and other characteristics. But it would have tasted the same to be you in that alternative reality as it does in this reality. Because when you think about what you are, you don't think about the incorporativeness of all of those issues. It's still the same you. When I was 4, still the same me. Do you remember anything from when you were 4? Is it someone else's memory? How do you know they're your memories? Because I know it was me. I still know it's me. How could it still be you? I mean, that's 4 of Stoyan. Come on. What do you have in common with what you had it for? What, a couple of little experiences? They're obviously generic experiences. What, the feeling of the diaper on your skin? What is it that you still remember? That's no kasha. There's always a taste of self, which even the stupidest person has some element of an existential awareness of. Because he knows this is him and not something else. Right? I'm not talking about the operative phenomenological sense which even a single cell has. To be able to operate, you know, to have a cellular membrane, to be able to be it instead of something else. I'm not claiming this an existential awareness on that level in the cell, but it's certainly a nested aspect of existential awareness. But there's nothing that exists that doesn't have that distinction. Right. So now, what is the problem? So now, what is indeed the problem of the Eicha? What is the problem of? And by the way, now Darkei Tzion becomes so meaningful, because now Darkei Tzion indeed are not the neurons. They're the synapses between neurons. And for that to be obvious, it means the cessation of the growth of the organism, of the creativity of the organism, right? Because now I recognize, obviously it's not this particular aspect, but that's what's wrong with the Holocaust museums. The same issue. They think that by identifying the pain of an individual, multiplying it times 6 million, and there you have the Holocaust. Nothing of the sort. It's like saying, taking one cancer sufferer and multiplying it by 6 million, you now have another Holocaust. There's no relationship. It's all accidental relationships. So this is an act of what makes it a conglomeration. That's not the problem of the Holocaust, suffering. The whole world is full of suffering. And so why should we focus on this arbitrarily and call this particular suffering? Which is what a lot of people say, actually, you're the only one to suffer. And how about the other 100 million people? 6 million Jews. The whole world has to revolve around the Jews and the elephant question again. 100 million people suffering in a war, but 6 million Jews, that's unforgivable. Typical Jewish. Stupidity. In the same way, this would also be stupid. If we want to talk about the elements, that's stupid. I'm not talking about the elements. We're talking about the meaning of the elements
in the complexity of a world, is what we're talking about. So that we know that the nature of Bris, or that the nature of Adam, is in fact to be able to assert itself over the simple way in which the world is, so that Bris will be Machayev responsiveness, right? And that's what we believe. That there comes a point, as the Ramban puts it, that you don't need to go to a doctor. You need to discover why you got sick and do something about it. I can't say that to someone who's living in a random world, but I can certainly say it to someone who isn't. Okay, so here you have all of Klal Yisrael, and this is the whole meaning of Bria. This is what you're telling me. The reason the Bria is fluid is to allow for a level of complexity and surprise that puts HaKadosh Baruch Hu's might separation into the hands of the way people will do it. And that's the whole point of it. So now it should descend to a level at which there's no difference between my Maitzim Tevin and this guy's Maitzim Roim. That is absolutely horrific. V'zera matzati mikol asher na'asa tachat HaShemesh, says Shlomo HaMelech. Asher magia l'tzadikim k'maaser ha'rasha'im, and so on and so forth. Complete violation of there being any meaning to the relationship of my concepts, my application of will, my making my life into something, and what comes out of it. So we should throw our hands up. No, we should not throw our hands up. We should recognize that the things that need to be dealt with are whatever levels of interrelationship have fallen apart. That's what we need to do. Because it's not sufficient to say, I am infinitely better than that guy in Harlem. So how come he doesn't have to suffer? And I, as a member of Christ, so do have to suffer. Go explain that to me. And that's exactly what the Eicher response is. What do you mean, go explain that to you? You don't understand that any level of achievement, once it becomes something that is no longer fluid and is no longer part of Bris, that it doesn't serve any purpose in the world. You don't understand that? You know what that's like? It's like saying, gee, here I am, Galileo, and here is this stupid kid who can't even do calculus yet. And you're telling me that he knows more about the world than I do. What a chutzpah! How come he has relativity and I don't? What kind of kasha is that? You want to remain Galileo, so then you won't have anything. If you're ready to learn about relativity, please. You mean you're so happy with the structure and the mechanics that you worked out, but that's it? So I don't understand. So of course the kid's ahead of you. He did learn relativity. Why is that a kasha? Would you, Mr. Galileo, have thought it was a kasha that the churchman who has now come from 100 years of monks toiling over the books, and you only manage to figure out things on your own, just he's finding, how come he should know more? He should be burned at the stake. You didn't think that was a good idea? Okay, so I understand the moment that level of fluid interrelationship ends, so there's the answer stopping the question. Well, of course that's the way. Why wouldn't it be? What's the difference where you are? You should say why. Turtles should live longer than people. Totally unfair. What an awful world it is. I just want to get a question with that. The biggest life in the world is a fungus? Horrifying. Why does it bother you? Tree? There's a tree around from the time of whatever, from the time of Abraham Avinu. And none of us made it. Heartbreaking. But these are meaningless questions. By the way, I'm sorry, I just don't want to forget this. One of the things that the Rambam finds is that, do you know why people get all hung up about these issues? He says, it's because of this stupid thing that they believe, that everything has to be seen in human terms. It's not that my separation is an expression of the potentiality of existence. No,
If there are butterflies, the question is, what is the moral lesson of butterflies to human beings? It's that type of stupidity that leads to these kind of questions. So why was the world created? And how does that relate to how it is that human beings understand it and so on? It's a completely species-centric way of looking at existence, as if existence is, in the context of the world that exists, as if there's something different about human existence, or butterfly existence, or trees existence. Understand? Trees need to exist because they're part of the potential. Butterflies need to exist, butterflies. And people need to exist. In universes, in galaxies, they say, I don't see that galaxy. She's not too bad. Therefore, we shouldn't have a galaxy. She's not too bad. Dumb questions, then. That's the type of mentality that leads to these questions. You know, it sounds beautiful science. The same. Obviously, once something just is an element, elements are not meant, as Daniil pointed out. So your piece of kosher meat, and the Schweizer Island is part of the piece of unkosher meat. No, therefore, no meat. So therefore, we should see everything different. Kosher meat should look better, should taste better. Is that what you believe? Why would that happen? Ah, you're not a piece of meat. You are a fluid piece of the world's development that is locked into a bristle. Oh boy, that is a disaster. How did that happen? That she turned into a piece of meat. Gee, that's terrible. We have to do something about that. It's interesting. That's exactly what happens to Rabbi Akiva. In other words, whatever it is that allowed that structure of 24,000 Talmidim and the death of all those Talmidim and so on, it's got to be reflected in the tragedy of Rabbi Akiva himself. If you want to become stymied in various areas and so on, so you're a piece of meat, okay, so you can also be weighed on the scale. I mean, if that's where Rabbi Akiva is, piece of meat. The L'shaynai shel chutzpis haturgama? So it's a piece of meat for dog. Is that what it is? Can be. That's exactly how Eich is brought out. Mamish using the Neosbuddha. Mamish using the Sukhma. Eich, how can it be such a thing that the Romans should be able to throw which because of the slush into a garbage can? How's it possible? Well, listen, well, what did you expect kosher meat to look different than non-kosher meat? Kosher bodies are different than non-kosher bodies. Jewish bodies don't get killed with bullets. What did you expect? And the Etzem, this is Amalek's initial attack. Of course, you're under the Onan. Come out from the Onan and watch how bullets cut through Yisrael brains in the same way they do any other brain. Therefore, there's no real meaning to what you did. It was a pattern. That's all an Onan is. That's correct. You're 100% right. Nonetheless, that pattern is the basis of my separations. It's the only thing that exists in this world. So you can talk about all of the mechanics and all of the things that are, in fact, just mikra, random, and everything else. It's totally meaningless. We're all recognizing we could be shot by bullets. But we also recognize that the reason that we can be shot by bullets is in order for there to be the existence of this bridge, which you're calling meaningless. It's just an unknown. Surely you're not going to tell me that Jewish penises are different than anybody else's. Oh, God likes them? Here, have some. We hear you like this kind of stuff. That's exactly the point. Isn't that mommy's the point? So what is it, the busser of the bridge that's going to be different? That we present the Lord on a tray. That's Zurich Mila's Papi Malin, exactly this question. Right? So those Milas are Chutzpis HaTurgim and Zloshim, are Basar Rabbi Akiva. It's all the same thing. But that itself is something to ask Ezra about. Because if there is a level of complexity that results in an Onan, which becomes Yerushalayim and Sion and so on, that things should have fallen apart to the level in which we can be looked at only in the elemental self, in which indeed we recognize there's nothing to do about that. Nobody's stupid enough to think there's something to do about that. Nothing to do about it. I could be sitting and davening and the bullet will go through my heart. And it's that's the tragedy. Not that that's possible. but that it should have arrived at a situation in which that's all that I am, in which there's people that can shoot bullets at me the club. That's a tragedy. And that was Goofer, remember, Arthur's title. Because, okay, obviously I understand the guy can fall off a ladder because he's thinking about it with his arm. I'm asking, how did that happen? What about the overall effect? What about the interrelationship effect? How about that? Isn't that a problem? And ultimately, of course it is. That's the problem of Eicher, right? But it's not a real problem in the sense that Rav Yaakov has an answer to it. Because it's a higher level of interrelationship and work of good that you have to achieve. And we're telling you, you have to achieve it. The bottom line is that every human being, no matter what the level of his achievement, and no matter how head and shoulders above any other human being he is, never thinks any more of himself than any other human being thinks of himself. Outer Rabbi. The more he recognizes how much head and shoulders above he is than any other human being, the more he recognizes the insanity of being as idiotic as he is. The less he knows that, the more he thinks he's wonderful. So why is that? Because the Eicher becomes more and more pronounced as there's more and more potential. He's going to be more concerned, not less concerned. He's going to be more aware of what needs to be done, not less aware. He's going to be more dissatisfied with himself, not more satisfied. Not so? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm saying, so to be an ayeka on the cutting edge is to be in a state of awareness that is constantly searching for, so what can we do? That's the tzaddik yisayir erlam. It's at this instant, in a new way, that I need to be gerning Yeshua to the erlam, right? So, okay, so then he's always sitting there with a shofar blowing in his ears. To say that that's a comfortable mode of existence, I mean, terrifically uncomfortable. But it still makes a difference between the ayo, the ne'az is, what to be, really, the desire. That's the big difference. Bottom line is, on some level, especially that mice, the guys, Mamasha Mice, I heard from the person himself, he had a chavrusa who came in Apicharis during the war. Yeshiva guy. So anyway, he did Mamish Kol Davar also. And after the war, he didn't know what happened to him. Of course, he didn't know what happened to him. He gets a message, he was an MPJ, he gets a message that his Sabruza is in touch with such a hospital and he's dying. Yeah, the mice, he told me directly, was dying of syphilis. I didn't want to be the fire, so he's dying of syphilis. So he comes and he called him to send a message, he wants to see Sabruza. So when the thing is asked, he says, what am I saying? This guy is telling him, you should know I get colds up or this. Not shy of that. Anything you can dream of, I did. Mom is the doctor, I went off after seeing this on August. So he said that all of those years, all that mutzer, all of that yoga, all of that learning, didn't make any difference at all. He said, of course, it made all the difference in the world. I didn't have an ounce of pleasure from anything I did. And the Etzem, that's an Asher issue. I mean, still I'm going to still tell Rabbi Meir, listen, this is the Tzum Shabbos. That's the deepest Asher. Of course I accept the fact that it's still Eicher. I just believe there's nothing to do about it anymore. There's nothing I can do. I just give up. Shuvabon and Shevavim Chutzni Asher. I think that's all. I give up. So I get what I can. It's horrible. I get what I can. But Lamaisa, the underlying commitment of the Ben Yisrael is to such an extent to bris that he can't exist in any other way. He just simply cannot be fulfilled in any other way. And when you find those that are, I hope there are some that seem to be mamish fulfilled in complete violation of bris. I hope that they're going. That's the sheet in the Rishonim that say that it's shayet. Some Rishonim hold
that the kedushin of a mummer that has completely gotten totally out of Yisrael is not a kedushin before. It's not shayach to kedushin. There is such a thing. There is no problem that way. But there's certainly such an element in the world, and which the Rambam the Mike talks about in Hilchos Ritzicha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chos on Rishayim. So only as long as they're basically part of Yisrael. So they're minded the Kriyat. They know what on some level they're part of the Sagan. And if they're not, so who cares? Basically, who cares about them? I mean, like I care about butterflies. And there's certainly it's a random world, and you know, I care about the lot overall. The human race, you know. But not because of what it is per se, but because of the Bria that it's part of. And that's the answer to wave on the Rami Nora. I'm going to wipe out the whole world for these silly bipeds. I mean, it's ridiculous. But Rami Nora's a part of the world. You know, they can eat meat. That was Ramesh the Bruce of Man. So that's there. But the times of the Yisrael and the individual, which is what was driving Bill on crazy. What was Yeshiv and Mitzapa? That there's a racious, that somebody's waiting for you. Oh, come on. You want to just get to it? Do it. Yeah. Anyway, so now, does that help or is it still good?
First of all, I hear it. I wonder if I like the idea of it being completely parallel and every aspect of physicality having being an expression of something super spiritual. I like the idea. Because it's other.
You want to be able to weigh the difference between kosher sheep.
I don't know about weigh it, but
I'm saying, but
right, it has to be.
It should have its place in the world that a kosher sheep that should be different than a non-kosher.
Right, all the way down to the bottom of the chain.
Right, the bottom turtle.
There should be a gestalt.
Right. Okay. Well, we know that even in the physical universe, there isn't that level of gestalt.
Because
of randomness, the built-in randomness of existence. And we know that we do not find the direct gestalt of us.
But that's not randomness, that's caused by whatever made this thing a kosher meat. The moment that you made it a kosher meat,
saying, but
changed
even
something.
Even in physics, we know that there's not a one-to-one correlation. The correlation is all the statistical. That's even true in physics.
So can it be that for us it's the suffering, but it's not objectively the suffering?
No. It's the nature part of the uncertainty principle is not a problem in the knowledge. It defines what you mean. Even the exclusion principle. It's not that's the way things are. It's not that we could never figure it out. The fact that there's some level of energy in the quantum vacuum is the way things are, even though it's a direct result of the uncertainty principle. Right? There's a fundamental level of energy in the universe, or the universe generally. The fact that an electron will appear suddenly across an insulating barrier, because it's random where it'll be, is the way things are. And there's nothing you can do about it. Right? You will not be able to prevent the sudden appearance of that particle out of nowhere, because there is some small chance that in defining its position it could be here, to the point where it's usable in creating actual switches. So I'll make Joseph's injunction based on the phenomenon.
But then how can you even a person to get past going to a doctor?
Grit, only grace. So saying, that's what the Ramban is saying, is that ultimately, that has to be nisit. It can't be natural. So there are no mechanisms. It's a completely different level of a nested reality in which you can't trace any mechanical means.
So in other words, randomness is necessary for grit, but the more you advance in grit, the more you can rid yourself of randomness?
It's not that you rid yourself of randomness. You now begin to live in a world that is beyond others, you've got anything, there's no randomness. In the macrocosm, there's no multiple realities. There's no wave and particle duality in the same thing. It's either one or the other.
Right? Where it came from is a different issue. Shnayim olo levita v'har v'yod. Where'd they come from? What do you mean, where did it come from? You were Mishai Mishamita, that's where you get children. Just like that. Well, yeah, that's what the world is. It's cause and effect. The cause is what you desire, and the effect is the result of that desire, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let there be a Bria, and there was. Oh yeah, that's right, it's cause and effect. That's Aristotelian, cause and effect. This is your plan, this was the effect of the plan. Does there have to be a mala? Oh yeah, there's lots of malas here. Where? Well, that's a different reality. Would you like to see what that looks? It's very ugly. Do you want to see it? If you're absolutely convinced, I'll throw you in for a few thousand years. That's essentially the idea of the Esabha, and so on and so forth. I mean, it's exploring different levels of reality. But there's no sphere between the emergent reality, which may have been based on all types of contingent events that can no longer be reconstructed, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, Kaviyofa, will say, okay, let's run that again. Maybe the next run of the simulation will be better. You may end up having a stock market, but I mean, there's so many random elements. You know, sure, you might have a better parnasa. Maybe you'll be a millionaire. Maybe they'll call you Eliezer Gates next time, I don't know. But if you want, we can do that. You know, I mean, it's kuli hai ulai, it's not kibai, because it's still ulai. That's the point, obviously, the ulai. If it wouldn't be ulai, then they wouldn't have to run it again. I would just throw you some money. There's no way to throw you money. That's the problem.
It's unbelievable. So in other words, it's not that he's bridging himself around, that he's raising himself to levels, that he's exactly. Definitely the unification.
No. It's more than that. It's that in removing himself, he indeed lives in a world of bris, which is living in the anan. If you think about it, that's what the anan is. That's what's so beautiful about it. An anan is a violation of randomness. Why are these molecules together in an anan? Why aren't they spreading out the way they should? The way water molecules usually spread. So they've been driven together by sunlight, right? I'm not saying ultimately that's what it boils down to. It's an input of energy that is forcing the formation of a cloud instead of allowing the water vapor to simply vaporize the way it ought to. And I see that as an entity. What's the entity? Well, I see it as a pattern of a violation of entropy. Oh! Exactly. That's Sashra and Hashina.
But isn't it a violation of the concept of entity? The concept of entity is that more closely stipulated layers include the lower layers, and an honor is excluding, not including. In the concept of entity, it seems that the higher orders of existence.
Why? Why can't I? Why don't look at it the other way? The quantum level is carrying much more possibilities than the macrocosm is. To call it the fundamental level. We were talking about this recently. Okay, I don't know, we're going forever and forever and forever down here. Alright, this needs to be explored, but it's not surprising that ultimately the only thing that you could possibly be misalbum on are issues of relationship rather than hets and messias. In other words, obviously no one will be misabo on what existence is because they have no concept of alternatives, right? It's not shy to be misabo unless the alternative is clear in your mind. So then I'm misabo. I mean, I can't be misabo if I can't imagine something else. It's like someone who has absolutely no concept of the Beis Hamikdash. Can't possibly be miserable. That's the Plato cave issue. If you grow up in a cave, then, you know, the only thing you see is weak reflections of what's going on in the real world outside. It's still, you can get an idea of something, but you still can't go beyond that level of reality and imagine, gosh, I wish I was out there in the world. I'm saying it's not surprising that if there's an aspect of mourning, it's for things which are a level of existence that we get shadows of, but know that they're possible. So ultimately that's the outgrowth of things, not the way they are. You know, we're not foolish about things as they are. We're hopeful about how things could become in the end. And that's what this is all about. It's about becoming. That's the yisaleh, right? The nature of reason. It's not surprising that in the end it's going to boil down to a function of why we couldn't make things better. Because all of these issues are the nature of Ma'aseh Merkabah itself, right? If you think about it, because that's why it's called Merkabah. Merkabah means that there is, I mean, it's a complex metaphor, Merkabah. But it certainly refers to going somewhere, and the way in which it goes is by its own conceptual power. But how does conceptual power move? That's the shaila. I mean, that's the old panim, the old panim term. Right? Somehow or other, there needs to be a relationship. And those relationships between the ruach of X is in Y, right? I mean, nobody needs to steer. It seems to be steering itself. The desire to go to a place becomes where it goes. That's what it's questioning. It's questioning the nature of developing reality. With what does that have to do goes on in terms of the mechanisms? So, but how does it move? Where's it rolling from? How does the consciousness of it impact of it? What's amazing, that's why I brought this in to meet you. What's amazing is that in Buddhism, one of the classic texts has to do with Ma'aseh Merkabah. Literally. And it deals exactly with this issue of the nature of an emergent property and how it is connected to the elements that relate it, right? And draws it directly back to the nature of the identification of the human being as an extant issue. So look at how it starts, okay? It starts off, this is from the Melinda Paha, which is like a fundamental text, right? So, you have like this, you have this, the king, there's a king, his name is Melinda, and then you have this Chacham, okay? The Chacham Nagatina, that's his Chacham. So he's pining, this is like a piece that comes in the middle, in which the king accuses him of being a phony. Why? Because he tinas that there is no real such thing as ego, and that therefore, in the end, it's not that anivas is, anivas is simply what there is, because there is no ego. This is what Nagasena is tining, right? Okay, so comes along now. Okay, so he tries to, the king tries to reduce his taina to reductio ad absurdum. So he says them like this. Okay. So now Nagasena is tining to the king. Okay, you say, quote, "My fellow priests, your majesty, address me as Nagasena." Okay. I'm asking you, what is this Nagasena? I ask you, Bante, who's Rosh Hashiva's Rebbe and so on, is the hair of the head Nagasena? No. It used the Russian of Aval, you know, verily, you know, the MS not. No, your majesty. Is the hair of the body Nagasena? No, your majesty. The nail, it goes through each thing, the nails, Nagasena. I mean, it goes on forever and ever and ever. But to be Makatsis isn't the nails, no. The teeth, no. The skin, no. The flesh, no. Sinews, no. Bones, no. Marrow, no.
kidneys, no heart, no liver, no pleuris, no spleen, no lungs, no intestines, no. No stomach, no feces, no bile, no phlegm, no pus, no blood, no sweat, no tears, no lymph, no saliva, no synovial fluid, no urine, no brain, no... okay, so maybe, is it the tsura? Is the tsura nagasena? No. Is it sensation? Is that nagasena? No. So maybe the midas. The midas nagasena. It's your predispositions. No. Is it your consciousness that's nagasena? No. So then I ask you, Rebbe, I mean, it's not the form, it's not the sensation, it's not the perception, it's not the predisposition, it's not the consciousness. Is it all of those things in their interrelated form that's nagasena? No. So then, is it something besides form, sensation, perception, predisposition, something other than that? No. So, he says, Rebbe, I'm questioning you very closely, and I fail to discover any nagasena. Which means that nagasena is a lie. It's just a sound. There is no nagasena. You're lying. So then, the venerable nagasena spoke to Mavinda the king as follows. So let me ask you something, Your Majesty. Did you come, you came to visit me, you came on foot, you came riding? He says, Rebbe, I don't go on foot. I come in a Merkava. It's amazing. Go straight to the Merkava. I see, he says. Tell me, Your Majesty, if you came in a Merkava, could you please define that Merkava for me? Is it the pole that you use to direct it? No. Is it the axle? No. Is it the wheel? No. Well, how about the body of the chariot? Is that the Merkava? No. How about the banner staff? No. How about the yoke? No. The reins? No. The goading stick? No. So let me ask you something. How about together, if we put together the pole, the axle, the wheels, the chariot, by the banners, the yoke, the reins, the goat, put them all together and then you have a chariot. No? So, is it something besides the pole, the axle, the wheels, the chariot, by the banners, the yoke, or no. That chariot? No. Your Majesty, though, I question you very closely. I fail to discover any chariot. Why are you saying it? No? So, the word chariot, it's just an empty sound. So, what chariot is there, Your Majesty? I'm sorry, but you're speaking alone. It's false. There is no chariot. You're the chief king in all the continents of India. Who are you afraid of that you should speak such chatter? So then, Melinda the king speaks to the venerable Nagasena as follows. Listen here, my Rebbe Nagasena. Not why. The word chariot is a reference. It's a way of counting. It's a term. It's an appellation. It's a convenient designation. It's a name for the interrelationship of poles and axles and wheels and chariot bodies and banner staff and so on. Really, Your Majesty? So you do understand the chariot. Well, I said, in respect to me, Nagasena, is actually a way of counting. It's a term. It's an appellation. A convenient designation. It's a name for. But in the absolute sense, there's nothing here. So even as the word chariot means elements that join together in a framework to be a whole, when groups appear into view, we use the phrase, a living being. The level of awareness, you understand that thousands of years ago, gives you a text like this as a basic religious text, this is all the issue of Malchus, Merkava, organisms, complexity, interrelationships, value of the element, what a name means, what Bibur is, and that it creates these. Mamish, every last element is here. You understand? It's just like, it's mind-boggling. you know, they really work on these issues. But I thought, so he said that this is, I mean, you know, what they do wrong is again, I mean, it boils down to the same issues, in that there is no particular relationship with external reality, that it's a mechayev, it becomes a shame of tumah that leads to it. But its emes is tremendous.
They just had a newspaper that apparently there was in India a whole school of children that were burned. So in the newspaper article, it talked about how normally in the Hindu culture, there is no avilus. There's no avilus. You're not supposed to cry.
Fantastic.
Because it's the way, it's like, right. Yeah, it's karma. The guy hasn't died,
it's the guilt is leaving. It's not like that. It's whatever level of avilus he's in right now.
Right. I forgot this phrase in an article, but there's something that the priest says, you're crying for someone who didn't die really, or something like that. Nothing's really died yet. Except for children.
they are mitzvah for children.
Yeah, for children they
think. There's something about potentiality that seems as different. There's something that if this is chupay, then there's no. The truth is, it's a very problematic avelus to be misable on someone who's 120 years old. Because most people really only relate to avelus in the primitive way that priest was. So if it's a potential, like if he had had, but I mean, this is, he lived a full life, so what's going to be misable on and off? So I shouldn't sit shiva. Or the other way, if somebody's sick, he's got Alzheimer's, he's been sick for 20 years, Reagan dies. You're going to be misable on somebody who hasn't been here for 20 years. These are all aspects that relate to our mistaking connection to the nature of avelus. You know?
So where do you see that avelus is really on the on Havaya and the sections? Where do you ever see that the avelus is in avelus? You might be saying Zara.
That what?
That when you have an avelus.
Because I'm saying because Hamoka is Machaya. We see that the nature of avelus is the way we deal with it is that we're mechaber to churban, which means it has to be a function of eicha. We see the original avelus is an expression of hayegra, so it's got to be on the existential potential of the maximal utilization of light. The complexity, it's a tragedy that it should be built into a paradox that requires this destructiveness in order for it to get somewhere. If that's the way it was, we would accept it. But it's the fact that there's always something to do that makes it mourning. At this point, that's the most that I can understand. Obviously, I may find out, something's a little different. But talk near at this point, because this is always the cutting edge issue. The nature of mortality, of time, space, of existence as it's expressed. This is always going to be the cutting edge, always has been. And whatever level of science, I mean, usually it was out of the realm of science. At this point, in this century, it's not much the cutting edge of science. It's the nature of the interrelationship of things to create consciousness. The question of what time is, what space is, the meaning of existence within dimensionality, what hope could not. These are things that for the first time are becoming scientific issues rather than philosophical issues. So, who knows? A lot of serious. In a sense, you can kind of that Einstein is clear. Negate all accepted beliefs, right? Mm-hmm. In other words, he's going to say, you're going to, the same with Galileo was clear. Or the same with Copernicus is clear. Our belief system is that Adam is the center of the Eilam, and that the sun has to go around us, and anybody. I'm saying, but this is what the church believes. Okay, this is what Yidden believed. So somebody comes along and says, no, Adarab. sun goes around, the earth goes around the sun. And all the other rocks are just little rocks going around the sun too. Mm-hmm. Or somebody was monish. I mean, nobody was able to, because no person would be able to make such a tremendous sphere all at one time. But I'm saying, if someone from today would go back to Copernicus' time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And would China, first of all, there is no quintessence. It's all rocks all the way up. It's nothing but junk. It's junk. And the reason that the sun is on fire is because of some very simple forces. Let me explain it to you. And there's a force that holds these rocks in place around bigger rocks. That's all that it is. It makes no enough to... I mean, they wouldn't sit and wait till the end. They would have burned you. Everybody would have burned you right at the beginning. You know, throw in the rest of it. And, you know, tell them about evolution and about randomness. And the guys are sugar. They'll tear you from limb to limb. It's not enough to burn you. It's a person who's completely out of his mind. They wouldn't, because they believe you're so insane. But Mistana, you're a shaita. You don't have any connection to what you're saying at all, right? It's inconceivable. The level of fear is such that it's pushing. It already borders on madness. So lock him up. Don't even bother burning him. I mean, throw him into a snake, put someone is in his own. Literally, it would be impossible to argue. There'd be nothing to argue. You couldn't get to first base with the first, you say. So that's fear. Ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
The only way that it was shy, I think, was by gradually eating away at things. Right? So at the beginning, they burned people for even suggesting that there's a rock on the sun. I mean, there's a spot on the sun. Sugar. I don't want to look. I will not look. What are you talking about? Chas v'shalom to see such a thing. That's the response. Now they started, no, I will not think about it. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look at what you're crazy. I'm going to consider that the people came from apes. Shut your eyes. And so on and so forth, right? So there's nothing to do about it. So that's what he was saying, that Baruch Hashem, we have a level of fear in which people say, there is no God. That's true. There is no God. What you think that there never was, and there never will be, and I have shown to believe in such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was a nice construct that you made in order to... I mean, if I were the shaykh to say that has some shaykh, it's the Matsi Risha and your silly little belief and so on. That's ridiculous. Okay? I'm saying it's much more than that. Basically, what the Holocaust was Darwin and Freud and Newton and Einstein and Planck all wrapped up together, wiping out every last vestige of belief, of systems, of frameworks, of makom, of anything that gives you a place to stand on in terms of what you were.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, now what are you going to do? What did you say? You don't like to be mistaken on Arias? I'm going to put a screen in your house. You understand? Oh, you won't have it in your house. That's fine. So your kid will go down the street and it'll be blaring at him from the street corner. Oh, you won't let him go in the corner? Fine. So he'll find it coming out of the sewers of the internet. Believe me, you're not going to get away. You're not going to get away. Whatever you think is going on in Borough Park, someone will walk over to your kid on the corner. But that's what's going to happen. I'll fix that. It's unavoidable. Right? I'm going to put you in a matzav in which whatever it is you don't like, that's what you're going to get. Now you're going to tell me what you can do about it as a Ben Yisrael, because the solution of hiding is not a solution. It didn't work. Because what did it do?
Why was that necessary in the first place? But he said that was a way of surviving the Golas. But if it's not a valid, if it's not valid, then
because the initial vision of Yisrael had failed. Yisrael had failed. But anyway, I forgot the end of the point. The solution that was offered by Galileo ended up being mamik the hakara of the Matzi Rishon. Correct. Now, when somebody who understands each point has a much deeper recognition. So there's an actual chabrus to the Rishon of Mitzias, to the Pashtus of Mitzias, to everything, to all the complexity. So that's dumb. This is the way it is. That's unbelievable. Why didn't somebody explain that to me before? Nar, because you would have said it was clearer.
Mm-hmm.
It took you thousands of years to realize that this isn't clear. This is just an attempt to get you to see what really is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But the Rambam is saying, he's saying, look, nobody can hear that cloak has meaning, because then they say it's clearer, because then it's belief in God Messiah. And if I try to tell them that the Chokhmah HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be the expression of his existence, they'll say that's also clear. How then is Shinui and Chokhmah? You know what? When you're talking to the Amon, that's right what you said. But I'm telling you that nobody really believes this crap. I guarantee you. Anybody who's any Chokhmah understands that that's what the Torah is saying. There's no way out of it. Mm-hmm. Right? In exactly the same way. And we'll tell you, listen, you understand the Torah is saying evolution. It's not that you can fit it in. It's telling you that it's necessary for there to be mechanisms in the earth. That's what it means. Don't you understand that that's what the Ramban is telling you? You don't like it, so you don't hear it. So how many times do you have to slap you across the face and you should hear what the Torah is saying? I don't like it. I want a different Torah. No, okay, so there's nothing to do about it. So therefore, the going back through the Masoros in the Midbar, so to speak, which was a tremendous limitation. The Midbar Ami. It's a Shrek. The Machane is a Shrek. It's wonderful. But it doesn't leave you room for anything. All it does is provide a framework for a repository which you can now deal with. When you wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael, it also was a Holocaust. You believed that leaving it, moving into Eretz Yisrael is a Holocaust. That's what you believed. To the extent that you refused to go. You're going to lose all of our framework. What are we going to do when we get there? I understand. What are we going to believe in? Where's the Mishkan? Who are we going to see? Well, I understand. We're not going to see the Rebbeinu Shammai. What, 3 times a year? And what if I can't get there? What kind of life is that? Well, that's a life for a Yid. A farmer. What, I understand. Here I'm sitting. I'm learning a Kehillah. I see the Beis HaMikdash. The Onan is there. I have a problem. I go to Meisha, Aaron, and this and that. We're not going into it. You got to be crazy. Next thing you know, we'll have the internet there. That's Mamish Da Mahalach HaMachshava, but literally, that's the Mahalach HaMachshava. That's basically the Chet HaMaraglim. Look, it's a fantastic place. It's too much of a challenge. The people there are giants. I don't know, you're ready to be a giant. Yeah, of course you're a Yid. I don't know how you're going to live like that. Go to Borough Park better. No, seriously, I'm not trying to be... I'm saying seriously, that was the idea. Say Nachinami. That was what Meishu Rabbeinu told HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So make a Marachim. What's so bad? So you'll be Misalach. It'll take 40 years, no? Why can't you have patience? And why do they need to be today? They need to be Yisrael. Mm-hmm. So that's what the Medrash says. So they're babies, no? Okay, so fine. So have some patience. They'll grow up. And you'll have nachas from them. The only time that made him react about the Luchas was the Mechaylois. That's all. That's the one thing you couldn't stand. The Chaylois, that to dance around something, so nobody's ever going to believe anything different. You're so happy with it. It's like the center of your life. Mela, you want to screw around. Don't make a mila out of it. That's the problem. Okay, but the Maisa, the Machana, and the Machana led to terrible things. That's why Kerach became a problem in the Machana. The structure, per se, was a problem. I said, who are you? What are you doing? And I said, We weren't all on our Sinai. We don't understand how fluid Torah is, how much... what's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. So, the Knesset La'aretz was, in fact, a period of Yishai Yashar Bein Aviyasa, exactly like today. It was uncontrollable. And the people who were in charge would be looked at today as oisvarps, out of their cotton-picking minds. I mean, they make Sharon look like a tzaddik, and it's at least he doesn't go running after Plishtim girls and openly doing things that anybody would think is some kind of movie actor. Or, who do you think he is? Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's who we had as the head of the country. Literally. Who is Shimshon? He's Arnold Schwarzenegger. But he was this, he was a shepherd, he was a godel, he was a gnavi, he was a whatever. Okay, but the bottom line is, he's Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's walking around picking up things and rippling the muscles and walking around with his hair like he's in Hollywood and picking up the girls. Of course he's a big man, no? This is your leader. You understand how the Flemish must have gone bananas about this. They don't let you read about it now.
I guess not. Okay, so Mordechai saw that that entire process needed to be redone. The 2,000 years of Golas are essentially the Masaos and the Midbar. Each one of those Masaos is part of the need for the way in which it ends up being. Mm-hmm. You can't mistake the particular Masa for the nature of Yisrael. That's what we were talking about on Sunday. Hello? Ken Marlenger! Mashleimcha! Yesh lecha bishvili chadosha esteves, ani mevin. Oh, nu boruch Hashem. Ani tekev ovei vekach et apsura tova. Oh, cheshbon gadol, ze gam ken psura tova lecha. Az lishnenu tiye psura tova. Vema hagedol shela cheshbon hagedol hazeh? טוב, משהו, אני אביא את זה ממשיך לעלות. זה באנס, חשבון הגודל. איך זה קרה שהגיע עד כדי כך? על כן יאמרו המשלים בו וחשבן? לפני כן, לא אחרי כן. טוב, אנחנו מגיע בעזרת השם גם עם זה. טוב, כל טוב מרלנגר. אומי ירושלים. מה ילקת עושה? Come, let's walk, if you don't mind. Because I have some water in here. I said I own a lot of money.
Coming back?
Yeah, oh. If you have time.
Yeah.
Okay, what were you saying, Liz?
But the time.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a way to formulate the question. So what are we suggesting for nowadays? Let's say, practically, the Maisa,
yeah.
In terms of, let's say, the infinite. So don't Chazal say that you're not supposed to, that you're not supposed to pay five pesos because then it's to see how much tzai you can get for
of course. So Hashem Yerachim, you're not allowed to put yourself at the Mokum Sakana.
Oh, so that's
the only problem is that there are certain Sakanas that you know you're going to have. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, we have a Shaila like this. You have to make sure that your child doesn't drown. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the solution is to live as far away from the sea as possible.
No. Oh.
The solution is, obviously, to teach him to swim. Mm-hmm. Okay. So therefore, this was Rav Henkin's psak when they're going to college in America 50 years ago.
And what?
That's part of the din of the father being mechuyev. Oh, hello. Be right back.
You have to be there, too.
At 2?
Yeah.
So soon?
Yeah.
Ay-yi-yi-yi-yi.
I had a hard time pushing it off the door. I was really upset.
Oh.
Lucky they called back because that was so...
Ay-yi-yi-yi-yi. Shalom.
Ani
kvar ishtatavti bezeh. Bepam shavayim. Ten. I'll be right back. I just started picking up something and laying it. 2 o'clock. Okay. Anyway, back. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that Rav Henkin had a psak on.
Rav Henkin had a psak on college. That was based on the Mishnah.
Is it printed anywhere?
I just heard from my father. I didn't see it inside, but I assume it's printed. So he said that in a matzav where this is going to be, what happens to a child is going to be in the marketplace, and he's going to have to deal with the realistic issues that are going to come up, then there's no way to hide from him. There's hide him from it. Therefore, you have to train him to be able to deal with it in through the kalim that you can give him. Right? Okay. I mean, this is the same thing. You're not going to be able And we know that already. We know what's happened to From Society in Nebuch. I mean, all of these kids that are... no one has successfully hit their kids. So what happens is that because... And the same thing is happening now right here already. There's no Meir Shalom anymore. There's no... The level of these problems in sex and unwanted pregnancies and drugs and so on in these most From areas is unbelievable. Why? Because... they're completely vulnerable. They have no... It was the first time they see something. They're shocked. What's going on over here? They have no idea. No idea that this was theirs. What do I do about it? Remember, it's not a practical solution to say that the thing I will do is make sure that they're protected, because they won't be protected. In any society where a kid can walk outside and be accosted by somebody and God knows what will happen to us, walk by a newspaper advertisement and suddenly see something and make him wonder about the whole nature of the world. Or, I always say over mama's, in Pels, you had the ultimate ghetto, Baruch Hashem, they were the first yeshiva that had their own little town, their own, Baruch Hashem, they're... my wife and family, that's where they grew up, right? My brother-in-law simply took walks to the local firehouse. And in the firehouse, they had a TV, and they had their nude pictures, whatever they had in the firehouse. So that was where they found out about life. And of course, it was much more attractive to them, because, you can't get it at home, so let me find out what's really going on. מי שלאינג מדבר איתו ברחוב פשוט נותנים לו עסקה ולא
אפילו משה רבנו הוא עשה
טוב, אני לא יכול עם לנדוני או אסקאלו, אני לא יכול. מה אני אעשה? טוב, אז תודה רבה לכם.
תודה לך.
בכל זאת. מה זה? זה לא זה. אתה לא קבל את
זה. נתתי לך, אתה.
זה לא באמת. רגע, נו, ואיפה ה... איפה הנייה יפה למתנן? טוב, טוב. טוב. אני נתתי לך 2,000. שיהיה לי גם זכות.
גם בלי זה יש לך זכויות.
אז רגע, אז תראה.
בסדר, אני אסתדר. בסדר, את יודעת כבר מה לכתוב, מה שכתוב שם על השם. בסדר, שלום וברכה, תודה רבה לכם ותודה שהצגת לי. אני בוודאי אעשה פרסומת, איזה שאלה?
Wait, so that makes me have an even more burning question.
Yeah.
So then how is it ever possible to sufficiently immunize children against heat?
The only way is the clarity of what it means to be a Ben Yisrael. That's what I hope. Nothing else is your Ben Yisrael. You cannot utilize a religious belief to stand up against a physical reality. They have to understand why it is that this is what they want. They have to feel that this is what they want. They have to recognize, and that's what we're talking about. The Torah is a detoxification program. Mom is a detoxification program. Not shy to be in a matzav of stam nisyonos and narishkeit when you've already seen it all in the great Torah. It doesn't mean anything to you.
Right, but isn't that a practice? I mean, doesn't a child learn that over time?
Of course.
The more person grows, the more they appreciate
it. Of course.
So then, isn't there an advantage in keeping away?
Of course. Yes, as long as it's not artificial.
Right. No. I'm saying, isn't there a welcome for saying not to have the internet? Not because I would tell my child he should never use the internet. I view it as a sacrifice so that we don't have the internet. But I do that so long as I'm trying to inculcate the chinuch of realizing that if and when you use the internet, you should use it properly.
No, but the problem is if you never give them indications of what properly means of anything, then that ends up meaning nothing. All that they see is that we are a negative people who cannot utilize anything in the world, who are unable to do the things that normal people do as part of normal human intercourse, because of the fact that for us this is better, for us this is better, that's not a solution.
Any difference than saying that a kid who's under 18 can't get a driving license? You have to be a certain age to understand that.
Fine, but you put him into cars beforehand, and you buy him a bicycle beforehand.
That's true.
Okay, so the same thing is true over here. If he's never ever seen a movie, you can't tell him when the day comes that you'll see a movie, then you'll know to be mavdil between this kind of movie and that kind of movie. Because in practice what happens is, the movie is awesome. The extra movie is awesome. In realistic terms, whatever is naturally part of the environment is the thing that you have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if he may have a classmate that's going to have a television, so then he has to know, what are you going to tell him? I don't go to that classmate, but he will go to the classmate.
Mm-hmm.
So then that means that if this itself is usher, I've already been encouraged to get a rival.
Mm-hmm.
So I might as well go all the way. I mean, it's not that's not much what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no real gedarim, there's just all or nothing. There's no kedusha, there's no shura, there's no havdalah.
Mm-hmm.
The whole metzias of kedusha is havdalah. Anyway, that's where the sophistication comes in. So I'm saying that the creativity is the more powerful way of asserting the Motzer Rishon. Not the Rishon. The Kfir ends up creating a Motzer Rishon, a much deeper Havana,
mm-hmm.
than the non-Kfir, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that unbelievable? That's the level of Bris. It has to question and build, not just question.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, it's easy to peel away all of the things that people believe in. But what are you going to give them as an alternative?
Mm-hmm.
All you're going to tell them is, the world's basically prohibited by something on the side. Because that's where he wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he wanted it. It's a violation of Chokhmah. It's a violation of Bina. It's a violation of Daz. It's a violation of Chibur. It's a violation of Tev. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's talking to. He's talking to these people. I have...